Grace and peace from our Lord and risen Savior, Jesus Christ. And if you noticed this morning, we had some extra children for the message, and I'd invite you to get to know these new kids, and their mommies and daddies are in the back too. So welcome. And of course they did find the candy right off the bat, so we're in good shape with that. The story that you heard in the gospel reading today came from John. Now here's a little fact that you may have not noticed before, but as you get through John, we read from chapter 21. Well, chapter 20 is the resurrection and the notification to the disciples and evidence of the risen Lord. And so you say, now wait a minute. Why did you need another chapter after the most significant chapter in John? Here's the answer. What John wanted to show after the miraculous resurrection is that the disciples went back to doing what they knew to do. That's all. They went back to be fishermen. And that's how the story about the catching of the fish. Now, another interesting little point that I want you to think about today is, if you recall when Mary Magdalene came across Christ in the cemetery, she didn't recognize him. The two men on the road to Emmaus walked with Jesus quite a while, and they did not recognize him. Peter is in the boat, sees Jesus on the shore, and he did not recognize him. It's only after the Holy Spirit lifts this cloud of secrecy that covers the hearts of Christians that they then can see Jesus. You know how Peter knew it was Jesus? John leaned over to him and said, "It's Jesus." And of course, Peter would have gone, "Who?" "It's Jesus." Then Peter recognized who it was, and of course, he jumped out of the boat and swam to shore to be with Christ. Sometimes we need a John in our lives to show us Jesus. How many people do you know that have never seen Jesus? Because you have not pointed out to them where he is. Now, why did Jesus take this time early in the morning to set breakfast on behalf of his disciples? Well, that's one part of that's very easy. He loved them. He wanted to be with them. And so he made breakfast for them so they could eat together. He wanted to demonstrate the breaking of the bread and the demonstration that he was with them in the form of worship. And then there was a third piece. And he did this to Peter. He said, "Peter, do you love me?" And Peter, of course, said, "Well, yeah, sure I do." A little bit later, Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? Yeah. Yeah, I do. And then a third time, Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? Now, Peter's getting a little upset, and he goes, Lord, you know everything in the world. How do you not know this? And then it dawns on Peter. He was in that courtyard. How many times did they ask him, did he know Christ? And he rebuked them. He cursed them. He swore, I know not this man. He did that 3 times. It's been said that facts are stubborn things. But as we can witness every day, facts you see on TV news are there often to sway your opinion. They deflect our attention. They beg the true issue. But let me share with you one fact that shall never change. Before the Lord ascended into heaven, he said, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Share the message with all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Well, if our little group here was sitting on that hillside, and John ran up to us and said, did you hear what Jesus said? And we're going to go, yeah. Well, how has your church done? How would we stand as far as accountable for the message and the directive of Christ to not just Concordia, but to each of you sitting in those pews? God said to you, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. You heard Tom read the epistle today, but you may have missed this. So I'm going to reread this one more time. That's out of the book of Revelations. We shall reign on earth. And you have been given the power of the Holy Spirit for your use. That's in Acts 1:8, if you care. And you know how you access that power of the Holy Spirit? All you have to do is ask, and you receive it. Now take a moment and think through last week, perhaps. How many times did you talk with a friend, but you totally disregarded their relationship with Jesus? Don't we care, honestly? Don't we care if they know Christ? Do you care where they spend their eternity? How can I be called a friend? How can you be called a friend if you do not share the gospel and the love of Christ? How do you do that? Now, one of my favorite evangelists in our church, and I won't mention his name, but his initials are Jerry White. I didn't do that very well, did I, Don? I'm sorry. And Jerry tells a story about how he will walk at work down one aisle and people will see him coming and they'll turn around and go the other direction so that they're not confronted by his love of Christ. Well, that tells me two things, honestly. It says one thing about the dedication of Jerry, but it also says something about a person who turns away from the chance to talk about Christ. We all, because we talk all the time, we're not strangers, we talk about bringing more people, which happily we're doing now, to church. We want to do that. But let me explain something. You begin by taking action. You have to do something. And here's what you can't say. Oh, Pastor, I'm no good at that. Oh, Pastor, I'm embarrassed to do that kind of thing. Oh, my, that's not my job. That's a pastor's job. That's Don's job. It's not my job. My job's to come here and sit in the pew and listen for a few minutes and go home. If you don't get distracted. But does anyone here honestly believe that's going to sell on the last day? There's a hymn, and Karen helped me pick this out, so I got it right, I think. And maybe you're familiar with it, and it goes like this. If you cannot speak like angels, if you cannot preach like Paul, you can tell the love of Jesus. You can say, he died for all. You can do that. And with that thought in mind, here would be my request today. Is that each of us in this room would pray to the Holy Spirit to provide you the opportunity to share the gospel with just one person this week. And I'm not talking about that offhand, subtle little fringy comment that's unrecognizable. I'm asking you to pray for an identifiable confrontation with someone where you know absolutely, without a doubt, it was the hand of the Holy Spirit that put that person in front of you this week. Pray for that. Believe it. And then watch. You know, it's funny, when Christ performed all these miracles we read about in the New Testament, he always does one thing. It's kind of ironic. He always asks the person he performs the miracle upon to do something. Get up. Take your bed. Walk. Go to the pool. Wash your eyes. On and on. And here is what he says to everyone in this room today. Would you please go? Please go and do my work. And now may the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding keep your hearts and your minds in the love of Christ Jesus. Amen.